order.
Our members on the Senate side are still in caucus. They will be coming in just a few minutes. But for those that might be viewing this committee, all of us are so busy coming from committees and getting lunch at the last minute. That's why this meeting is starting a few minutes later, 10 minutes later than we had thought. But all of us are in so many committees, so that's what's going on. And today is Mental Health Day, and so NAMI is here, and a lot of people were still in their offices as well. So it's not just that we are disregarding time, it's that we are so busy trying to take care of the public as well as the public's business that it delayed us. So thank you all for being here. What we will do is carry on Senate Bill 5527 from yesterday, and Ms. Matthew will bring us up to date, and then I will hear a report from Representative Morgan and Senator Gordon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you said, the Board of Medical Examiners is back to continue the public hearing on their budget request. And I believe where we left off, we had just gotten through the first policy package, and they were going to resume discussion of their policy packages. And in addition, what they've provided at your places, you will find revised performance measure forms. Remember, we talked about the revising the data in there and the targets to reflect what they think the packages will do for them. So I don't know what the agency had in mind in terms of starting. I don't know if you want to go over this form, or I'm just going to turn it over to Ms. Haley and Ms. Scott at this point.
Okay. Well, let's do here what we ask you to come back today in terms of your measures. And when we get to that point, then I'd like to hear the response from Representative Morgan and Senator Bortley. Is that okay? Thanks.
Chair Carter, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kathleen Haley, and I'm the Executive Director of the Board of Medical Examiners. And with me this afternoon are Professor Suresh Ball and Ms. Mary Scott, who's our Assistant Executive Director, and Carol Brandt, who is our Accounting Supervisor and PowerPoint Master. And Sean Range is the Department of Administrative Services Budget Analyst. Last night, we got to work together, Senator Gordley and Representative Morgan and I, to look at the performance measure on rehabilitation of licensees, and we thought that the problem with the language could be remedied. And we came up with and I'm happy to tell you what that language is, unless Senator Gordley or Representative Morgan would prefer to go ahead. Go ahead then. The language we came up with is to measure the new complaints that come in rather than looking at using the word reoffense.
Mm-hmm. So let's tell us what page you're on, please.
The performance measures are on page 30.
Okay.
And it's performance measure 5, rehabilitate licensees who are disciplined. It's also on page 32.
Okay. And from Senator Gordley, and as a matter of record, Senator Gordley and Senator Morgan.
Madam Chair, the witness has stated very clearly what the remedy is to correct the language that was problematic on yesterday. And I'm satisfied that we can move forward.
Representative Morgan?
I also received an email from the director with an explanation, the old performance measure, and an explanation of how the new performance measure would be worded and what it would measure, and I think it is much clearer, and it will be a good performance measure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Chair Carter.
And so, Ms. Hayden, you will pass that information on to the analysts so that we can inculcate that in performance measures. You can make note of that to the chairs, the co-chairs, as we show that this performance measure has been met.
Yes, we will, Chair Carter.
Thank you.
I think one of the struggles we've had with the performance measures is that they capture, when we made our initial estimates, they were based on data that happened at a certain period in time, and then we've had circumstances that have changed those. So we've gotten more information. So I think these changes will be for the better.
Great.
Our next slide we were going to show you is the timeline for the TechMed project, which is contained in slide in package 101, and it would be a new slide 4540. We didn't get this slide. Okay. Chair Carter, at this point, I would like to turn it over to Mary Scott, who will continue on with package 101.
Chair Carter and members of the committee, we added this slide to assist in explaining our measures a little bit further. I wanted to make sure that you understood that when we talked about an off-the-shelf package, that there actually was a timeline that was more than, for instance, an off-the-shelf package like Excel or Word. And so I am sharing the information that we've put together as we planned for TechMed. As you can see, with your approval, we would implement beginning June 27th, which would start with bid awards. We would anticipate that we would be doing planning for data migration, configuration, and performing acceptance testing on the software well into late spring of 2008. During the summer and fall of 2008, we would be beginning the implementation with the staff, and we would be doing, of course, training, and then we would be bringing the staff up on a probably rolling basis, either by performance function or by department. We would anticipate by January of 2009 that all of the employees at the Board of Medical Examiners would be using the new software. The first measure report that we would be providing back to the state would take effect in the summer of 2009. So we would have 6 months' worth of data with the first budget reports that we were sending back to you. By the time we came to talk to you in the next biennium, in January of 2010, we would have a full year's worth of data. So I just wanted to be clear in terms of when we would be seeing impacts on this process so that you can see that we have some timing issues as well in seeing impacts. Initially, we would expect the computer software program to show a small reduction, a 5-day reduction in new licenses, and we would expect that to occur with the 6-month data that we're providing to you in 2009. The full impact of the software performance would be felt in 2010, and we would see a 10-day reduction from the TechMed package and licenses. So what we are showing to you with our revised slide is that the impact of the package 101 TechMed would be a total, long-term, a total of a 10-day reduction. A half a year's worth of that impact in 2009 would be a 5-day reduction. And we have updated our performance measures slide for you so that you can see that rolling impact. In addition,
just one question, Ms. Scott. That, tell us the difference between the numbers that are 75 today but were 55 yesterday. What impacted that? What kind of new information changed that?
Yes. What we did, Senator Carter and members of the committee, what we tried to do was start with our baseline of where we are today, and we're at 74 days out today. So in order to measure the effect of the program, we took where we are actually today and then moved out in terms of where we thought the impact should be from this measure alone. You'll see when we get to the package 102, which is the staffing package,
package that there will be some additional time savings coming from that package as well.
So that's why we see a five-day shortened period of time that you're referring to down in 2009.
Senator Carter, that's correct. That at the point that we're reporting the 2009 data to you, we'll have a half a year's worth of data from January to June, and then we're reporting to you that July. By the time we meet with you as a committee the following January, we'll have a year's worth of data so we can update that for you.
Okay. Representative?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I asked a question yesterday after the meeting, and some of those days are not the in the control of the BME. They're in the control of maybe a university where they're asking for transcripts or whatever, or another agency or some place where this doctor has originated, and they're waiting for those results. So those days count in that. Am I correct? Okay. So you might be 5 or 6 days, and they're the 70 days or whatever it is.
Sure, Carter, Representative Moon, that's exactly right. I mean, we get the receipt of the application, and then there are documents flowing in from multiple outside sources.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that you talked yesterday about, you checked out what the timelines were in other states that had similar situations to Oregon. I wonder if you could refresh my memory about that information.
Chair Carter, Representative Morgan, when I went back to the office yesterday, we did take a look at that, and none of that is hard and fast data, but generally speaking, it's about 70 days.
Well, I still have concerns that we're making this investment in infrastructure, and it's the days are getting stretched out farther than they were yesterday, and now I'm getting information that it's a longer time than some other comparable situations. So I realize that this is all very nebulous at this point, and that it's very difficult to nail it down, but I'm wondering if there would be a point to having the analysts note that this was a significant area of discussion and have it paid attention to when the agency comes back in 2 years, because I think that we're spending an inordinate amount of time on trying to peg a performance measure that we don't have a lot of information that would point us in the right direction.
Any comment to that statement? To Representative Morgan's comments?
Chair Carter, we don't have any at this point.
Okay. Representative Kotek, then Senator Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In looking at your timeline and looking at what you have in your documents, is there any way to phase in the license administration versus the case management? I'm getting the sense that this is a pretty complex system because primarily more of the case management that you're trying to implement. Am I reading that right? Because your measures are around license administration, but you're also trying to add a case management component. Are you phasing one in, or they have to be completely together when you're developing?
Chair Carter, Representative Kotek, I don't think we know at this point. We'll have to see what the vendor comes forward with and their experience level with both case management and licensing as to which they would do first. We certainly would love to get the remedy at the license end.
Well, that would seem to make sense, if possible, to do that. I think the case management issue is very much needed. It's just going to take longer, where the licensing seems a little more straightforward. So.
Madam Chair, thank you. I tried to discipline myself and said I wasn't going to weigh in on this very much because obviously it directly relates to what I do for a living. But I'm going to make a few comments, okay? And the comments will be along the lines of caution. I used to do this for two major hospitals for almost 10 years. Gathering information is not always the most difficult thing. It takes time because you have to get references in. You'll have two or three different residencies possibly involved, medical schools involved, and usually, and commonly now, previous practices or some practice amounts have moved into the state. Frankly, those are the ones we were most concerned about. People straight out of residencies, physicians were less of a problem for us. But we had things, we thought we had a pretty good network in place. We had several incidences where things slipped through our network and we didn't realize we had a problem on our hands until after that provider was in our community. And we found that if we take a little more time and maybe read between the lines of some of the references a little more carefully, and maybe took the time to call back to some of those residencies and references, we could have solved some problems. It was also concerning to me that there was sort of a sense of a very small number of providers, I'd say less than 1%, that produced for me, in my role as medical director, 95% of my problems. And that is no exaggeration. I also found that in checking back on these situations, there was sort of a dance of what I call a dance of the lemons. And these people get transferred around and nobody really wants to speak to it. So I'm not worried about this timeline. Most physicians, most providers getting ready to come to a new area are planning 6 months to a year in advance. They have plenty of time to build information in. They're not interested in a fast turnaround. And what we're interested in this state is that we bring in people who are safe, effective, don't have drug and alcohol problems, don't have problems of emotional nature. And I'm concerned that we be cautious about this. I mean, this is not a normal licensing situation. This is people who deal with life and death, who can kill people. And we want to be careful and cautious and protect the public. That's what this is all about. Not about what's convenient for physicians, but what's safe for the public. So all I'm asking for here is a degree of caution. I think moving to 75 days is just fine. I don't have any problem with that at all. And you take your time and you review these applications very carefully. And that's what I'd say. Thank you.
Further questions?
I did have one more measure, Senator Carter and members of the committee, that I would also like to talk about in Package 101, and that is Measure H. We have not yet established targets for this measure. This is a newly established measure. The data that we have to show you today reflects only 6 months' worth of surveys. In the past, we have established targets on measures based on initial returns, and we found that that has not necessarily been very effective for us. We designed our survey to capture customers from all parts of our organization, including licensees, renewed licensees, participants of the Health Professionals Program, individuals filing complaints against their physician were included as well. This is a broad spectrum of customers giving us mixed results and in some cases very few responses. This makes understanding and determining the validity of responses difficult at this point in time. We would like to look at our staff resources after completion of the TechMed project to see if we could get a stronger response by changing from self-initiated survey response to an interview survey format where we could call a sample of licensees and other service users and ask them the questions. We would like to monitor our results in 2007 and 2008 as well as the six-month summary that we provided you today for 2006. And we think that would be a good baseline before the TechMed project impact. And in fiscal year 2010, then we would have our first year of full TechMed impact. I'd like to move now, with your permission, to Package 102, which is our workload management package. As we mentioned yesterday, our licensing department has double the mid-1990s volume of new license applications. In addition, we have added all sorts of new components to their licensing. For instance, reporting licensing details to the Federated Board, fingerprinting, background checks. The first two performance measures point to an increase in backlog in this department, and we would like to address this. We need one more FTE, that's full-time equivalency, staff person in this department, and we need the limited duration half-time position that you allowed us last biennium to be made permanent. We also anticipate that we will have more vacancies to fill in the next 3 years as some of our staff retire. We would like to continue to build diversity in our workforce. We are therefore asking for funding to introduce ourselves to participants of the Promise Program and to have one of those students in-house next summer at the Board of Medical Examiners. The board also relies heavily on the services of medical consultants in both our investigations department and in the health professionals program. We're asking for permission to increase their reimbursement to $125 per hour. The change in reimbursement rate will increase expenses by around $48,700. That you'll find in the Division 015 budget. We will be making the same request for consulting increase fee in the budget of the healthcare professional program in Division 016 and Package 103. The final part of this request package is for $54,100, and that package is to rearrange our existing office space. We now need to make the space more efficient by removing some walls and purchasing and installing system furniture, and we will be shifting staff members during that process as well. I have placed the employees that we are requesting inside bold lines, and I think we have arrows to show you who those two positions are, totaling the 1.5 FTE. You'll find them in the blue section of the diagram in the licensing department.
This will be, members of the committee, if there are any questions you have on any of the introductions on the package number 102, now is the time to ask those, because when we come back on Monday, we want to work this bill. So if there are any questions on package 102, I'd like to entertain those now.
Senator Carter and committee members, the key performance package that we would expect to be affected by this is measure number 6. We had a business process review of our registration and licensing functions in 2005. We have implemented the cross-training, the paperwork reduction, and the other recommendations that our business process consultant made in that department. And you can see that the recommendations made by our business consultant did not have the full impact that we were hoping for. They did not improve the statistics on turnaround time. We estimate that the new FTEs and staffing will be about one-third of the solution for this department. We think that the tech med automation solution to that department adds another two-thirds of that solution process. For now, we would like to set our measure target at our actual current performance level, and we would like to move the target down each year as we anticipate our processed packages having impact. Next year, if we have the new employee in place, we would expect that employee to affect this target measure by 5 days.
Let me ask you a question, Ms. Scott. Are these the measures that we're looking at right now, number 6?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, are these standalone in terms of the different requirement, the different office areas that the different personnel that are using these the workplace, or is this a cumulative number that we're looking at?
Senator Carter, the number six is the effect in licensing department. We reported on the slides in package 101 the effect that we would see over time for the computer. We're reporting on this slide in package 102 the effect of the FTEs only, not of the computer system. The combination of both of those, we anticipate, would bring us down to a 60-day turnaround.
Okay. That's good. No, that's good. That's what I wanted to make sure was clear.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now I would like to turn the presentation over to Ms. Haley, who will be presenting the final two packages for us today.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go back to you for a little while first.
Okay.
In looking at the office specialist position, we are now making this position permanent because it was a limited duration period before. And then you are seeking a new person in this area. How has the workload changed to the degree that you need two people now as opposed to now making permanent this first position?
Chair Carter, if I might respond to that, members of the committee. The half-time position that you gave us last biennium was limited duration, and that is exclusively for criminal background checks. So once that bill passed, then we have that half-time staff person to run those fingerprint cards, and that's what that person does. The other full-time staff that we're requesting in this package would do physician licensing and hopefully help us to get that target down a little bit lower.
Very smart. Any other questions? Okay, thanks.
Chair Carter, I'd like to go into package 103 then, and that is the inclusion of mental health services in our health professionals program. During the last legislative session, and in particular at our budget hearing, the board was encouraged to develop a monitoring program for those licensees who do have not just substance abuse disorders, but now mental health diagnoses as well. That program is overseen by a 5-member supervisory council. There's also a medical director who's an expert in addictions. She does not have the psychiatric expertise. This will allow those licensees who have a diagnosis of depression or bipolar disorder to be able to go to this program and not be disciplined or investigated by the board as a result of that illness. In addition, about 60% of those currently in the program suffer not just from the chemical substance abuse, but also have a secondary mental health diagnosis. So part of what we're asking is about $99,000 in mental health consulting, because we need to have that psychiatric expertise to help with those with a mental illness as well as those who have chemical dependency and a secondary diagnosis of a mental health disorder. We want to build in a little bit additional oversight of that program as well. We had an audit of the program this year, and we're estimating that we need 2 new council members to handle the addition of the mental health services, as well as a mental health panel. We would also like to have an assistant attorney general be able to assist this group a little bit more and increase the number of supervisory meetings held. These are the recommendations that came out of that performance audit that was done in the last year. Now, because we were able to have that review this year, the board believes that it is wise to continue to have a biennial review of that program. Due to the confidential nature of the program, the board cannot go in and look at those records. We do not know who the participants are. But we do need to have accountability with the program, and one way to get that is to build in a performance audit on a biennial basis. So that money is also included to $50,000 for this oversight.
How did you get to the number of $99,560 for the mental health consultant?
Chair Carter, we estimated the number of hours that would be required to get the program up and running with psychiatrists in the community spending their time. And we estimated that based on the $125 per hour.
Okay. What percentage do you think of the people, of the doctors you serve right now, that you think that you've had to deal with this particular issue as to why you are now adding mental health?
Chair Carter, we think there'd probably be about 10 a year. 20 a biennium is what we're estimating in the beginning.
Okay.
We're hoping as the program becomes known and it's successful, then more folks would step forward who would need that kind of monitoring.
And I'm really glad to hear you say that there are no sanctions associated with this, because I think that in the general population of society, just because a person has a particular illness of this nature, they are not sanctioned unless they go totally awry of the law. So I'm really, really pleased to see that there are no sanctions associated with those people that self-identify in terms of this. Senator Wardley.
Thank you very much. What is the function of the mental health panel?
Chair Carter, Senator Gormley, it is really to advise the medical director. It would be a panel of the supervisory council. We would anticipate adding a public member and also a psychiatrist to the supervisory council. And they may need to meet separately to get that mental health, to get this mental health program up and running. And also to advise our medical director in the program about the diagnoses and about what kind of monitoring would be needed for those individuals.
And so to follow up, it is an internal function. It would be an internal function of the organization once it's up and running, not an external.
Chair Carter, Senator Gordon.
Independent, autonomous.
That's right. No, it would be a part of that supervisory council, which is statutorily created.
Senator Bates?
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to thank you for bringing this program forward. I think it's needed in the profession. And the information you gave about the 60-40 mixture of mental health and drug and alcohol problems being associated with each other is actually follows the general public's too, mm-hmm. which is not surprising. My question is, do you think this package will start answering the question, which has been one that I've been concerned about, is physicians will self-medicate? I think it's a bigger problem than we might realize it to be, and that physicians who feel they're depressed or anxious or have other problems start self-medicating themselves without seeing a professional, try to be their own physician, and potentially get themselves into trouble.
Chair Carter, Senator Bates, we would hope that that would be the case, because it is confidential and it will be a safe place for people to step forward and reveal their problems.
Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is, you may have covered this, explained it yesterday, and I just didn't get it, so I'm going to ask today. When I look at the chart that was just referred to, 40% of the people who in the diversion program, it shows substance abuse only, 60% substance abuse plus a mental health issue. Where would be, where will we see the count or measures for those people with only a mental health issue?
Chair Carter, Representative Nathanson, about 84% of the health professional programs and medical boards also have a mental health component already. In Oregon, we haven't had it until now, until if this passes this session. The estimate we're getting is that we expect 20 in the first biennium. And so that would be a new piece of this pie chart in the future.
But we just haven't collected the information to know how to reflect it on this chart.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
For the question,
Madam Chair? Yeah, it would be very helpful as we're talking about percentages from this point forward to have in mind the total number of professionals that we're talking about, so that we have context. So if you could refresh my memory, what is the total number?
Chair Carter, Senator Gormley, it's 95 today, and they generally have been running 95 to 105 participants.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
For the past 17 years, the Healthcare Professionals Program has had an excellent track record in evaluating and monitoring and returning licensees to active practice of medicine. And we anticipate that if you include mental health, that this same would be true. We would propose that then we would have a new performance measure to track that information as well.
Representative
we have one final package, and that's package 104. That's the transparency and accountability package. 47% of the complaints, as we showed you yesterday, that come to the board's investigative team come from the public. We would like the public to get to know us a little bit better, and to that end, we've actually proposed a bill to change our name to make it easier to understand who we are. But we also would like to have some radio spots to get the word out about what services the board provides for the public. And we estimate that that would cost approximately $25,000. Since I've been with the board, we have had all of our board meetings in Portland, and we would like the opportunity to be able to take the board meetings outside the Portland metropolitan area. To that end, we propose $9,800 to hold one meeting each year outside the Portland area. And this would give the general public, as well as the healthcare community in that different area, an opportunity to become familiar with the Board of Medical Examiners.
Madam Chair, Senator Garrard and Senator Gordley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Kathleen, while I don't want to cheat my former radio folks that I worked for 40 years with out of $25,000, but to be honest with you, if you would write up a simple public service announcement, send it to the radio stations, they'll probably run it for free.
Chair Carter, Representative Garrett, I did try that when I first came here, and I'm afraid to say I didn't get any takers at that point. Maybe I'd have better success now.
Senator Gordon.
Follow up to the good representative's question. How did you determine that the public announcement messages on radio, that would be your best strategy to communicate to the public, especially this is an education piece, education information about the licensing and discipline feature of the work. How did you determine that this was the best strategy?
Chair Carter, Senator Gordley, we do have a speakers bureau on our website, so that if any organization would like us to come and talk, we do, and we do go out into the community and do some education that way. When I looked at the other medical boards around the country, there were only a couple that have any real other education efforts, and they did it through radio. So that was the way we came to that idea. And then we got estimates from the radio, Oregon Public Broadcasting, to see what that would cost, and that's how we came up with the dollar figure. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm always a big fan of telling folks what state government does, and I think that's always generally a good idea. Is the goal to... Are you trying to reach out to folks primarily to let them know where they can go if they have a complaint? And I see you nodding. So if that's the case, have you thought about, and having worked in the nonprofit world, tagging that message on to something that people have to read, like their DMV renewal or some other type of thing that when they see it and the number is right in front of them, typically with radio, especially if you're trying to get them to call a number or go to a website, I think it's challenging for people to remember that. But then you have to figure out what vehicle can they actually, would they see, utility bills, whatever. That's been very effective in some agencies, but I don't know if you've thought about that as well. Chair Carter, Representative Kotek, we have not thought about putting it in something else like the DMV. When I was nodding, I do want to make clear that we also would really like to get the word out about what our services are, that they can learn more about their health care providers by using the board's website, for example.
And I think so that's an excellent message to get out.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Further questions? Kathleen, I would like you to just kind of think a little broader in terms of that, because we have so many people who, and it would cost more for television, so I won't even entertain that piece, but other means by which people will read your message in addition to radio, because I think it's very exciting to hear you wanting to get the message out, because a lot of people, even if they wanted to, even if they had a negative experience with their doctor, they tend to just find another doctor rather than to say anything about that doctor. So knowing that there is an agency out there that will hear complaints, I think is worthy of a broader kind of educational opportunity in terms of who you are.
Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that. It triggers another thought for me, and it's about the patient safety commission. Do I have the
corporation?
Corporation. Is there a relationship between the BME and the Board of Medical Examiners? I know Senator Winters is listening. She doesn't like acronyms. I don't either. Board of Medical Examiners and the Patient Safety Commission, is there a connection? And given this discussion that we're having about information education around discipline, complaints, et cetera, where's the link?
Chair Carter, Senator Gourley, we do keep aware of one another's work and in communication, so that is another potential avenue for us to work with. I do want to mention that we also looked at the print media and looked at the cost of that, and frankly, that was prohibitive. It was way beyond these radio spot costs.
Madam Chair, if staff could help us with some additional information about the Patient Safety Commission and what their public relation efforts look like, how are they informing the public that this vehicle exists to where one can lodge a complaint? And again, I need to have a better understanding about the connection between that work, that function, that commission, and the Board of Medical Examiners. I'm not sure that that's coming through in the testimony.
Chair Carter, Senator Gourley, could I make another stab at it here?
Please.
The Patient Safety Commission, as I understand it, is working on voluntary reporting of hospital adverse outcomes. So I don't know how directly they're working with the public as much as they are working with the hospitals to have them step forward and talk about serious harm to patients, but all of that is confidential, so it's really not a regulatory piece like ours is. But we do stay abreast of one another's work, and we are in communication.
And I recognize what you're saying about the commission working with hospitals, but I'm also remembering a constituent who contacted me, our office, with a concern, complaint. We made a referral to the Patient Safety Commission, given the nature of the concern and complaint.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm just trying to a conversation offline would be helpful, I think, and perhaps Dr. Bates can weigh in with the chair's permission to help us sort this piece out. It just seems to me it's really important that we understand the relationship.
Dr. Bates.
Madam Chair, and I'm hoping you correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but let me try to put it the way I think it's trying to work and the way we want it to work. Mm-hmm. The Patient Safety Commission or corporation is set up to disseminate back to hospitals major bad outcomes. To do so, they cannot be in a position that anyone who gives them that information, any of that would come back to them through the board or any other source. And if you lose that wall, no information flows out. As an example, we used to have things that we call sentinel events in our hospital, and when potential patient harm was involved, or sometimes patients were harmed, and Joint Commission Accreditation of Hospitals would look at those with us. We'd have maybe one a year, one every other year, but it'd be very important things, and we couldn't tell anybody about that. We couldn't tell the staff at the hospital. We couldn't tell the hospitals about it. And we felt really, really, really constrained not being able to send that information around, because it would have made changes that would have made the hospital system better. But it was very clear, because of litigation and other issues, that if we ever let that out, we could potentially have difficulties. So the corporation was set up to allow that kind of dissemination of information and put a huge wall up that it doesn't go to anybody else. Now, what I hope happens is that if a complaint comes from an individual and goes to them, they would refer it back to the BME where it should go, and that would take care of it. The other issue involved here, and this is something I think we'll be seeing legislation on this session also, is we know that the difficulty of fairly working with physicians who are not practicing the level they should practice, or who are frankly dangerous to the public, has not been as well addressed as it should have been in the state in the past. It's not the BME's problem. The problem is that they have not gotten information they need. So your question is to the point, but not, I think, through the corporation. And we're looking at legislation to try to bring that information to the board in a reasonable, meaningful way, so that when there is a problem, it gets identified. And the board finds out about it, which at the present time, they often don't. And that's the real disconnect that we have to try to deal with.
As a matter of fact, this morning, LPB, I was listening about 6:45 to the news that as a result of the Patient Safety Commission, there were 17 deaths in hospitals that were considered negligent deaths in the state of Oregon. And I didn't hear all of it in terms of the timeline, whether it's just in the year 2006 or whether it's the last 2 years or 3 years. But so information is coming out. And to what degree it was on OPD this morning, I'm not sure whether it was an announcement or whether it was news. Further questions? Ms. Haley?
Okay. Thank you, Chair Carter. If there are no further questions about Package 104, then I would introduce you to the legislation that the Governor has brought on behalf of the Board this session. There are four bills. And the first one is Senate Bill 145, which speaks to Package 103, and that is the addition of the mental health diagnoses to the Health Professionals Program. The second bill is Civil Enforcement Authority, that's Senate Bill 146. Right now, there are several boards in Oregon that do have the authority over their statutes, and the medical board is not one of them. As a result of the Dr. Patel case, the legislators asked us to come back and request the tools that we need to do our job, so we're bringing Senate Bill 146. It would be a penalty of up to $100,000 for failure to report to the board. Senate Bill 147 changes the name of the board, again, to make us a little bit more accessible and transparent to the public, and also because of the fact that we have not administered examinations in a number of years. And finally, Senate Bill 148 proposes to increase the fine that's currently levied against a licensee who has been disciplined. Since 1975, that's been $5,000, and we're proposing to raise it to $50,000 as the maximum allowable amount. At this point in the presentation, we have an appendix for you with a number of additional supporting documents. And we also have a recent photograph of our staff. Since we showed you our board, we thought we would also show you our staff. I want to thank you very much for your time and attention both yesterday afternoon and this afternoon. Thank you.
Okay, so the question, Representative Bloom.
Well, then I'll go ahead and ask them if you could tell us the new name. Is there a contest?
Chair Carter, Representative Boone. We did have a contest in-house to name our technology project, but not for the board name, no. That went to the board, Oregon Medical Board, so we take out the examiner's part.
Further question? Yes.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Do we have a list of legislative? I didn't see it in the packet. So legislative, the slide you just had up, if we could get a copy of that.
Chair Carter, Representative Kotek will get you one.
Thank you.
We also listed public testimony. Dr. Bailey, sorry.
Thank you. I'm sorry to keep interrupting. Thank you, Madam Chair. I gave you a wonderful segue, obviously, without realizing it, into your bills. Just a comment that these bills are going to be looked at very carefully in committee, and there may be some changes. The basic thrust is we do need to do something differently than what we're doing, but whether these bills as written are the absolute final word is still to be discussed, I believe. Just want to let you know, Kathleen, we'll be talking, okay?
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for the update. No kidding.
Yeah.
Don't get these two started. Let me ask each of you to look carefully over the actual budget itself in terms of the amounts, so that if there are questions and that you want Ms. Haley and Ms. Geist to come back with, that you can send them information so they can bring it back with them next Monday, because I really, really would like to pass this bill out next Monday. So if you have any questions, please contact them. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on the presentation of the Board of Medical Examiners? Because we did list today as a day for public testimony.
Close enough.
Senator Westland.
I just wonder if Professor Bald would like to say a few words. You've been sitting there very dutifully for 2 days, and we're graced by your presence. So I just wondered if you had anything you'd like to say.
Thank you very much, Senator Carter, Senator Westland. I was on the board as a public member for 6 years, and it was one of the most rewarding experiences that I've ever had. I was very impressed by the way the doctors, the members of the board worked. And what really impressed me was that there was not the sense that we have to protect our fellow physicians. And there was not a sense that we have to get them either. Foremost in everybody's thoughts was, how do we protect the public? And I thought it was just very gratifying to come across physicians who felt like that. And as I said, I found it a very satisfying experience. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for your service to the state of Oregon.
Thank you.
Further questions? You guys, the day that we are late, don't forget you're out of here 30 minutes early, and that you owe me, so you won't get upset if you're ever late.
Keep that in mind.
Thank you very much.